Morning Church. So I'll be sharing my thoughts on this passage, Philippians 2, 12 to 18. If we can have it on the screen so that everyone can relate with it, that will be fine. I can also read from here. I've read the passage, and I can say it's a letter of commendation, in my view, and admonition, on the other hand. It's a letter written by Apostle Paul to the Philippian church, and I believe the message there is also relevant to us as a church today. And the central theme of the passage, from my understanding, is serving the Lord joyfully, serving the Lord joyfully. So starting with verse 12, I hope to do this within the next 10 minutes, just to give that time ahead. Yeah. So verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So one thing is key here. That verse reveals how faithful and consistent the Philippian church were in serving the Lord. So it didn't matter if Apostle Paul was around or not. They were consistent in their service to God. They were not seeking recognition. They didn't even bother if their efforts were recognized or appreciated, even though it's nice to appreciate effort, but that wasn't their motivation. They understood the essence of their salvation. And when Paul was saying, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," he was not teaching them or telling them to accept Christ. They've done that already. He was simply telling them to put their salvation into action. The essence of their salvation, it just means that we must understand this, that we are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. I think that was the key message there. And you may want to ask, why were they that committed? Why were they just joyful serving the Lord without even caring if anyone was there or not? The next verse will provide that answer. The next verse is verse 13. He said, "It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It is God which worketh both in you to do and to do his good pleasure." So the Philippian church recognized that it is God that gave them the ability to do whatever they were doing in the church or doing to serve him. They know that God is the enabler of whatever they are capable of doing. God is the giver of gifts, talent, strength, or whatever we may have. So for me, serving the Lord is a form of worship, acknowledging him that you gave me all of this, I'm using it for your glory. So they understood that. So that tells me, that gave me an idea why they were that committed, joyful, happily serving the Lord. I remember this scripture, James 1:17. It says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. They come from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. So everything we have and who we are is being made possible by God. So one thing we can do is to use that to worship him, and we get better by it. So we are made to serve him and serve humanity. So I will move to the next verse, which is verse 14 now. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." That's the way KJV puts it. So I think NIV says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing." That's why I said this letter of Paul to the Philippian church is also a form of admonition. So he was now telling them, do all things without murmurings and disputing. So it's very important, because it matters to God not just the way we serve, but the heart with which we serve. So it's not about what we are doing, but how are we doing it? Are we doing it joyfully? That's why I said Paul was admonishing the church, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Because anybody can provide a service, but God wants our heart. With what heart are we serving him? Are we serving him joyfully, or we are serving him murmuring and grumbling? That won't be acceptable to God. In fact, it will be better not to serve or offer any service in church than to be doing it grumbling. And one good thing is, when we are doing it, when whatever we are doing in the presence of the Lord, we must know it's not about who is watching, who is seeing us. It's a service as unto the Lord. So it doesn't matter if our efforts were not recognized as they should, or we don't get the kind of appreciation we deserve or we desire, but it's unto God. And there's this scripture here I'd like to share with us. It's that is Hebrews 6:10. Say, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love that you do in his name. So God never forgets. He sees everything. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He understands us. He sees our hearts with which we are serving him, and he understands our motive. So it's very important. So it doesn't matter if we don't get the recognition that we deserve, but God sees everything, and he's a rewarder, and he will surely reward. So this is just a motivation. Sometimes if anyone feels discouraged in one way or the other, the service is not unto man, it's not unto the leadership, it's a form of worship unto our maker. So it's just saying in essence that we shouldn't be weary in well doing, because God is a rewarder, he never forgets. So verse 15, I want to take my time. So it said, verse 15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. So this is also very important. Paul was also admonishing the church here that we need to be conscious the way we conduct ourselves as Christians. Because we preach Christ not only in our words, in fact, we preach Christ more with our actions, with our deeds, with what we do. People get an impression about the Christ we profess we serve by how we relate with them, by what we say to them, by how we engage them, by what we show in our actions, consciously or unconsciously. Because Christianity is a way of life, not just a religion. If we do something in a certain way, I would say, oh, that is a Christian. Not because I said, I am a Christian. My action should demonstrate the issue shows. And that's why it's important. Whatever we are doing, we must demonstrate or manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sure many of us are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit, some of which are peace, joy, love, kindness, self-control. All these things must be part of us, must be our nation, if not even a second nation. It should be our primary nation, so that we don't think about it. Should I be kind? Should I be peaceful? Should I have self-control? No, it's something that will be in our DNA. And by that, we are able to model Christ to our world. 1 Peter 2:9, it describes us in a particular way. 1 Peter 2:9, it said, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show for the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are light of the world, and this must reflect in everything that we do. And I'm happy what Laura showed before, that when light comes into a place, it shows, it can't hide. It has its characteristics, and that should be part of our lives. And as I'm rounding up, Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So what can we get from here? This verse tells us to hold fast to the word of God. Now, a few weeks ago, I remember Tim was teaching us about a scripture. I think that scripture is in Psalm 119, verse 105, that saying that the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the word of the Lord is like a divine compass that guides us how we navigate our Christian journey. So we are not just moving to and fro. We are not just walking aimlessly. We are focused. We know what we are doing. We know what we are where we are going, and we know we are pleasing the Lord. One key thing is that our God is so deep that the only way we can grow our relationship with him is by meditating on his word. I remember there's this song we used to sing in my high school fellowship several years ago. I left high school several years ago. But I remember the song. So the meat of the song was saying, God is so high, you cannot see the end of his height. He's so deep, you cannot uncover his depth. He's so wide, you cannot go around him. God is simply unsearchable. He decides to reveal whatever he wants us to know. And one of the ways he reveals himself is when we meditate on his word. And I choose my word carefully. There's a difference when you read and when you study and meditate. When you read, it's like scratching the surface. But when you study, when you meditate, you get the real deal. You see, you get an insight. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you get revelation. So, and that's why Paul was also admonishing the church here, that hold fast the word of life, which is the word of God. Because that's the only way we'll be blameless. That's the only way we'll not fall into error. And so this is why it's so important. So the more we study and meditate on scripture, the more revelation of him that we have. So the scripture is like the reference point that guides us what we do, how we function, how we operate, and how we model Christ to the world, that we can win our world over for Christ willingly. And I pray that the Lord will help us with all the few things I've shared. My prayer this morning, as the joy of the Lord will continue to be our strength, even as we serve him joyfully. Thanks for listening.